Hello, this is Pastor Elijah Wells of the Wells of Living Water Ministry. Welcome to our podcast, which is a place to satisfy your thirst for the living word of God. Listen in and be blessed.
I want to pick up where I left off. Pastor, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is sin caused man to fall and then fall out of fellowship with God. That's what the big deal is. God created man in his image and in his likeness so that we can have fellowship and relationship with God. Sin breaks that fellowship and sin breaks that relationship. And so he provided his son, Jesus Christ, to bring us back together, to break down that middle wall of partition that separated us from God and to bring us to the point where we're at peace with God. But what's the big deal, Pastor? God hates sin. That's the big deal. God, why? Is it because God just hates things? No, it's because it goes against the very grain of who God is. It goes against the very nature of who he is. That's why he hates sin. And that's why he had a plan, a redemptive plan a long time ago to bring you back unto himself through Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, somebody talk to me. We talked about how sin has consequences. Sin is harmful to our lives. It brings pain and destructive consequences. You have to love pain. And I said on last week, you have to be bent on running the stop sign 1,000 times. That's kind of like how it is. You bent on sin and have no desire to change. All right? It brings pain, and who in here loves pain? And its destructive consequences, not only to ourselves, but it also affects others. Talked about that, okay? And the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But not only does sin separate, but there's a great gap between God and man caused by sin. And sin separates holiness from unrighteousness. God is holy. Unrighteousness separates, right? And so for those who have not yet have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, need to know that if you're walking in sin, it causes the person to be void of righteousness of God. Amen. But pal, you don't understand. I do what's right. You know, I give to the poor. I do all of these things. And let me just say that that's good. But that's not enough when it comes to spiritual salvation. All right? Okay? And you can't work up God is not on this point system where if you work up enough points, and if you haven't had a chance to accept Jesus Christ yet, you understand that the person that has not done that yet still have not received the nature of God yet. He has no affection towards God. Amen. The person that has not accepted Christ yet, it has a continued skew or pull to that which is evil. Some people don't even know it. They don't know why they keep getting drawn into sin. There's a pull continually. He loves darkness rather than light. The Bible said the person that have not been born again would rather walk in darkness than light. It said neither come to the light. Why? Lest their deeds be revealed. There are some people that never come to church. You know why? They fear that their deeds will be revealed. Well, you don't have to come to church for your deeds to be revealed. God already knows. Come on. Your God is everywhere. Not just in the church. He's out of the church. He's in our house. He's down the street. He's around the corner. The psalmist said, if I take wings and fly to the highest points of the heavens, God is there. If I go down to the lowest parts of the earth, lo, thou art there too. If I make my bed, come on, somebody say amen. You can't escape God. Bless God. So, now, let's go in depth now. Where did it come from? And how did it come into the universe? Sin entered, first of all, the unseen realm. Somebody say unseen realm. What is that? That's the realm or area that you cannot see, because you need to understand something. There are some things that's going on behind the scenes. There are some things that are going on in the unseen realm, amen, that you cannot see. There's things going on. And that's the reason why you need to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, so you can be in tune with what's going on, so you don't get caught and ensnared by the devil and all of his tricks and, you know, right? And so sin entered the unseen realm when iniquity was found in Lucifer's heart. Lucifer was not always the devil. Did you know that? Go back to your Sunday school. Lucifer was what? He was an angel. What kind of angel? Cherubim. There you go. So that was a high, not just any old angel. He was a high ranking angel. Right? But there was a problem. Sin entered the unseen realm when iniquity was found in Lucifer's heart. Quickly write down Ezekiel. Roll with me quickly because I'm going to start going quickly because I don't have a lot of time this morning. All right? Ezekiel 28:15 says this. Thou was perfect in all thy ways from the day thou was created. First of all, we understand something. I need for you to hear me very closely. Because most people think about Satan. Oh, Satan is just the opposite of God. Wrong. Come on. Satan is not the opposite of God. Are you with me? It's not a comparison. Amen. What you have just done by saying that, you are saying that Satan is equally as powerful as God, and he's not. We need to start off with that preposition. All right? Because he's not as powerful as God. He's not equal to God. He is not the direct opposite. No, he's not. That means that the evil and everything he's done is just as strong as what God is. And you can't compare him to God. Because he is a created being like everything else. He was created by God. Woo! Whoa! I didn't know that, Pastor. Yeah. So don't stop giving Satan as much power as you say he does when you say, well, he's the opposite of God. No, he's not. He don't have as much power as God to get you to do evil, just as much God can get you to do good. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody say amen. All right, let me move on. Okay, so the Bible said he was perfect in all his ways from the day that thou was created. So we see the idea that Lucifer was a created being, right? It says until iniquity was found in thee. There it is. He was all right until God found iniquity in his heart. Where did it come from? When it comes to sin that's coming upon man, and when sin came upon Lucifer, where did it come from? It came from a direct decision that Satan made to defy God. That's where it came from. It says he was a perfect being until iniquity. Don't stay with me because I'm going to deal very specifically about sin, transgressions, and iniquities very specifically if I get a chance today. So stay with me now. I'll get to that word iniquity in a minute. But we need to understand that it entered the unseen realm by way of Lucifer in his heart. The Bible said iniquity was found in him. Isaiah, quickly, 14 verses 12 through 15 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down, which did weaken the nations? For thou said, here we go, we talked about the sins of the heart. See, you can say something in your heart, right? I mean, you can make up in your heart and your mind that you're going to do something. If it's not of God, it's sin. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. In other words, he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above God's throne. All them angels that bow before God, they're going to bow before me. Woo! Oh, my goodness. He really set himself in an awful place. Come on, talk to me. And so he said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In other words, the mount of the congregation. If you understand in the Old Testament, amen, anytime you went into a mount, it always dealt with worship, amen. But God sits in the highest mount, if you will, amen. Somebody say amen. And so he said, I will sit on the mount, the place where everybody worship. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. He says, in the sides of the north. That's where God is. Somebody say in the sides of the north. That's where God is. And verse 14 says, I will ascend. He had to ascend because God is up. Amen. So he said, I will. Come on. Somebody talk to me. So that indicates to me that he was below God. Wasn't equal to God. He had to ascend in order to get there. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like. That's right. You can't get any better than God. That's the best he can do is be like God, because you can't get any better than God. Why? Because he's perfect. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And so iniquity was from covetousness, and desire came in Lucifer's heart, and he wanted to sit in God. See, he longed that everybody would praise him like they praise God. Come on. I'll be like the Most High God. Yet, verse 15, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That was his penalty. Amen. He was what? Brought down. All right. Everybody with me? And God didn't. We also have to understand that God did not spare even the angels when Lucifer and one third, you know, that's the reason why you got to watch it. You don't always be, listen, don't always be a follower, because you can follow somebody into destruction. Don't be a follower. Because one third, amen, of the angels decided they wanted to follow after Lucifer. And not only did he get kicked out, but a third of the angels got kicked out too. Come on, talk to me. Pastor, where did you get that? 2 Peter 4 and 6 says, for God, if God spare not the angels that sin, so we see that it's capable for angels to sin. Oh, come on, somebody talk to me. Is that what it said? It says, for God, if God spared not the angels that sinned. So angels can sin. Lucifer made a conscious, constructive decision to sin. That's where it came from. In the unseen realm. You with me so far? And it says, and delivered them, talking about those angels, Lucifer and one third that wanted to follow with him, delivered them into chains of darkness. Darkness is holding them bound. To be reserved. Did somebody say reserved? Unto judgment. All right, y'all. Verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God brought a flood. Folk decided they were want to continue in sin. God said, all right, go ahead. But in the process, I hope you start building a boat, because I'm going to tell my people to build a boat. Come on. That's how God is. God doesn't let nothing catch you by surprise. He told Noah and the righteous, his family, hey, man, I'm going to destroy the earth with rain. Now, what I want you to do, I'm going to give you the spec. I want you to build a boat. And I want you to get on the boat when I tell you it's time. And I want you to take all, amen, various animals and species with you. Bless God. And when I tell you to get on, you better get on board. Because once it starts raining, it's going to rain. God is a righteous God. He gives us all an opportunity to confess our sins and get out of there. And all that time they kept on preaching and teaching what God said, and they called him crazy. Didn't they? That man is crazy. He's talking about it's going to rain. What's rain? Well, they didn't even know what rain was. Huh? God watered the garden by the dew. What's rain? The man over there talking about something about rain. You know, we don't change, it's going to rain. We don't change, it's going to rain. He keep on talking about it. And that crazy man over there building this thing, it looked like, I don't know what it is. I think it's a boat. I think he said it's a boat. Right? One day God said, get on board. And God, Noah took his family and got on board. And I'm convinced that God didn't put a handle on the inside for him to open up. Because how would you feel? You get on board and everybody clawing and scratching at the door saying, let me in. You know? I said, no, it's time. You know, see? Is that right? So God saved, amen, Noah, but in his family. He called them the righteous because they believe God. But those that continued in their sin and was skewed towards continuing in the evil deeds, God said, go right ahead. See, God is like that. He lets us make our own decisions. He said, go right ahead. Verse 6, and say, and turned in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example. Those of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what an example. Onto those that afterwards should live ungodly. You live ungodly, there's consequences. Come on, talk to me. So sin is transgression of the law of God. It is rebellion and lawlessness. It is disobedience toward God. It is a failure of meeting one's duty to God. It is evil and wicked and must be removed before it removes you. It is omitting what God has asked you to do. Sin, then, therefore, I talked about how sin entered into the unseen realm. Right now, I'm going to show you how sin entered into the earth. And so the Bible says in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered. Who was that man? Adam. And death. Somebody say, and death. Entered by sin. There it is. You don't need a PhD. It tells us right here. By one man's disobedience and sin, by one man's disobedience, sin entered into what? The world. The world. And death by sin. So if death entered, that means it wasn't there already. God created you, amen, as a being to live on forever. Did you know that? God intended man to live on forever. But then when man sinned and fell, death came. Come on. And so death passed upon all men. All, everybody going to die at some point or another. That's why we got to make sure our soul, amen, is taken care of. For that all have sinned. So people say, don't put me in there. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible says all have sinned. It doesn't matter how righteous we appear and how many good deeds we do. The Bible still says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? So we must realize that sin came as a result of man. We talked about that last week. Man questioning God's veracity and truth to his word. And so, you know, he convinced Adam and Eve to question God and question God's motives. And somehow God was withholding something from them. And so, you know, they sinned. And man fell. Right? And then I talked about how we also inherited sin because of Adam. And that inheritance here I'm talking about is legally we inherited the guilt of sin. In other words, we would receive the punishment for sin unless we do something about it. Unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior that provided the sacrificial lamb and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Removes the sin and the guilt. Come on, somebody say amen. And so we understand that, right? And so now I'm going to give you another word. Now that sounds like a big word. You need to understand what it is. And that word is impute. 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 This is a term used to count as belonging to someone. Or in the case of sin and Adam, sin was imputed unto every man or accounted as guilty. Every man. Because you were born up under Adam. So it was imputed unto you the guilt of sin. And that's why God did something about it and made it possible that you can be forgiven of that sin. Romans 4 and 11 says this, and he, that's Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of what? Of righteousness. Abraham received what? A seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. That's you and me. Right? If you believe, you become the righteousness of God, and Abraham becoming the father of the faithful. Is that right? It says, so that righteousness might be imputed. Remember that word imputed? To count as belonging to someone. So now, so that righteousness is by faith, you are righteous because of faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ and have accepted that, right? It has been imputed unto you or counted unto you as righteous. And you're no longer guilty. The devil can say you guilty all he want. He can be accused of the brother and all you want. He want. Amen. But God imputed, he already accounted you as being righteous. Oh, come on, somebody say, that's good news. When God sees you, he sees righteousness. Even in our shortcomings and the mistakes that we make because of what Jesus did for you, he continually covers you. And God imputed unto you righteousness. Come on, don't let nobody tell you. Anybody can tell you you're not righteous. Amen. they're standing against the very word of God. It was imputed unto us as righteous. So righteousness was not imputed to Father Abraham, but righteousness was by faith imputed to all who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, now imputed. Now imputed. Okay? In other words, Abraham received the righteousness of God, and it was also imputed to you and I who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, Romans 4:23 says this. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Now you know what that word impute there now, right? It was accounted to him, right? But as for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe, somebody say if we believe. And that's why it goes right to the very face of, I'll talk about grace later, but that's the reason why I'm telling you, amen, that those out there preaching this gospel is another gospel, because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. It is a gift of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, he paid the price, but you got to accept the gift. Come on, somebody say amen. So it says, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses, talking about Jesus, was delivered up to the cross for all of our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Now we were raised again. We have been justified. Somebody say justified. Justified means you're no longer considered to be guilty. You've been justified through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we understand that we also have inherited a sinful nature. That means that we have a disposition towards sin and most likely to commit sin in the old nature. And that's the reason why we have to receive a whole new nature when we become born again. Now, I'm going to talk about born again and salvation in another message, because I need to spend a whole message just on that. So stay with me there. All right. Okay. So with all of that, all of this, as it seems as if man is doomed for destruction, provided a way through God's dear son, Jesus Christ, for a whole new change, a whole new nature, which is where voluntary acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. All right. And so we have to understand that. All right. And so write down Romans 14 through 19 also deals with the righteousness of God that we receive through Jesus Christ as a free gift of grace. Amen. And we got to understand that we must know, amen, that now it's counted unto us for righteousness through grace, and grace supersedes and overrules the offenses because of sin. The Bible said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Talk about you got to receive the gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, how much more the grace of God. Somebody say the grace of God. And the gift. Somebody say the gift by grace. You receive the gift how? By grace, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded towards many. That's good news. That means God overruled when you said yes to Jesus, and you received the free gift of grace. And it says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Because what Adam did, you were bound to be condemned for sin and guilty. Right? But it says, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. When you say yes to Jesus, by grace are you saved, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You've been justified now. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, as you and me, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Bless God. Come on. Verse 18. Therefore, if by the offenses of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift that one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. It came upon you. Now you justified. Come on, verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The obedience of Jesus Christ to go to the cross and die for your and my sins. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law entered and transgressions was made conscious. But where sin abounded, listen, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 21, that as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's good news. Now let me quickly, I want to at least deal with these areas, a definition at least of sin, transgression, and iniquities before I close. We need to understand what they are. Okay, so we know whether or not we're in sin or if we're transgressing against God or if we're walking in iniquity against God. All right. Okay. So quickly, I'm going to give you the definitions and explain these and I'm done. Everybody with me? Sin, transgression, and iniquities. Okay, let's talk about those for a minute. So we see, amen, in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, amen, associated with what we see in the King James Version, but there's some Greek words here, but I'm not going to deal specific with those, but I'm going to deal with the specific different definitions, deal with the three words that I'm talking about, sin, transgression, and iniquities, okay? All right, first of all, we have Leviticus 16:21, Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities. So Aaron, the priest, was to lay his hand upon the live goat, just dealing with the sacrifice, amen, for the iniquities, number one. Right? It says here in verse 21, Luke 16:21, and confess over him all the iniquities. Now, it uses the word iniquities of the children of God first. Uses a different Hebrew word, iniquities. And all their transgressions. That's a different word to use there, too. All right? So, when you talk about iniquities and transgressions, they are slightly different. It's similar, but they're not exactly the same. We need to know that because, well, I'm not worried about it. You need to worry about it because there's a difference. If you just make a mistake and sin, amen, it's quite a bit different than if you voluntarily, consciously sin, which is different from if you continually rebel against God and what he's telling you is a different what being so set in it, amen, that your heart is bent on it. There's a difference between all those three. Come on. All right. So when we're talking about sin, we already talked about the definition of sin, but it's dealing also with the same word, which is an offense to do something against the moral law. That's an offense. You offended the law. You offended God. Anything that comes short of the glory of God, that's sin. Right? When you talk about missing the mark, it deals with it comes the idea of an archer, amen, with a bow and arrow. That's shooting an arrow. Amen. When you shoot an arrow, if you miss the mark, that was called sin. That's the idea behind it. God has an idea of how he wants us to live. And if we make a decision and go another way, amen, we shot the arrow, amen. And if we miss the target, that's sin. That's the idea behind it. Okay? Now, transgression is just a huge difference. All right? Transgression deals with some that's added to it. It's a revolt, amen. Not only do you do something wrong, but you're also revolting against God, or you're rebelling against God. So you didn't just sin, maybe out of an accident, amen. You sin because you're rebelling against God. That's transgression. Everybody with me? Or rebellion? Repeated sin. In other words, you didn't just sin, but you keep on sinning. Come on. That's transgression. Disobedience, yeah. It transgressed rebellion is what it is. And God says that the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft in 1 Samuel 15 and 23. You committing witchcraft against God. Come on. It's a willful, it derives therefore of rebellion, amen, against God, against the path that God wants you to travel. Right? And like I said, it means to go beyond a limit. And I said that because we got to understand people in this world, they don't want limits. They don't want standards. God operates in standards and guidelines and rules and boundaries. And when you have a person that don't want to be committed to the boundaries of God, that's rebellion and that's transgression. All right. So when you have a person that just rebels against God because God sets these boundaries and people say, I'm going to step out of that boundary. That's transgression. And that's what he was talking about when God would tell the people of God or the people of Israel not to do certain things and not to go certain where and not to do certain things. And when they stepped beyond the parameters that God gave them, that became transgression. Not only did they sin, but they transgressed against God. They rebelled. Not just did they sin, they didn't follow the limits and make a mistake. Amen. They willfully rebelled against God and revolted against God and stepped out of the limits. Amen. You know what I'm saying? How people put a sign and say, do not walk on the grass. Amen. For some reason or another. Amen. People just want to step over the line and tip across. That's how it is. You transgressing against God. You rebellion. You going overstepping the boundaries, the limits, and there's consequences behind transgression. Then you get what you talk about. Iniquity is the third one. Sins, transgressions, and iniquities. Now, iniquities deals more with moral issues. Because remember, I spent all that time on last week dealing with sins of the heart. Because most of the time, people think of behavior. Amen. Sin is deeper than that. What's going on in your heart? And when you talk about what's going on in your heart, now when you're sinning against God, you're talking about iniquity. If you covet, that's iniquity. If you're walking in pride, that's iniquity. Huh? That's iniquity. What's going on morally in your heart? If there's some evil that's going on, that's iniquity. Everybody with me? It's perverseness. When repeatedly against the knowledge of God, you know what God said, and you're going to step over the line anyway. That's iniquity. You didn't just accidentally get bumped over, you stepped over. And you keep on stepping over it. That's iniquity. Come on. All right. You know what God said. And you keep on stepping over the line anyway. That's iniquity. All right. To go beyond or overstepping the limits. All right. So if you repeatedly step against what God says, you continue to miss the mark, it's not just an accident. Amen. You keep on doing it. It becomes transgression, and you keep on doing it, and your heart is bent on doing it. Keep on stepping beyond the limits of God. It becomes iniquity. Transgression means to go beyond the limit that has been set. So when God gives a command and one goes beyond the limit set, it's transgressing God's commandment. If sin is lawlessness, then transgression is when a person abhors boundaries and limits set. God sets parameters and boundaries for our safety and benefit. And to put it in simple terms, if God sets limits not to enter into a place that he forbids, then to go there means that you have transgressed against the instructions of God. Amen. The idea of transgression deals with breaking and going beyond God's law. It is based on rebellion against God. And so when we talk about, and then when you're dealing with iniquity, again, the sins of the heart, perverseness, it means to bow down. It means twisted. It means to be bent or crooked. Amen. Out on a course. So iniquity deals more with inner sins and sins of the heart. What is going on the inside of a man? It signifies not merely that which is wrong, but the tendency to do wrong. Iniquities are second nature sins, amen, deals with the heart, which drives a person repeatedly and continually to commit sin. You know, kind of like a perversion. People say they don't know why they do it. Certain perversion. A perversion of the truth leads to error. Perversion of intents will affect our will. So when you're dealing with the will of a man, right, or the intents of a man, or the motives of a man, when that becomes wrong and against God, it becomes iniquity. Is everybody with me? Okay? Iniquity is an attitude. So cannot just be covered over with blood. It must be taken away and replaced. Isaiah 53:5 said that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. Right? Wounded for our transgression. He was wounded for our transgression, but he was bruised for our iniquities. So he was wounded, amen, for our rebellious attitude, but he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. Come on, talk to me. More than just, that which meets the eye, it's what's going on in the heart. Come on. Iniquity. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom for your sake of your splendor. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitudes of your iniquities and by iniquities of your trading. Satan was perfect until iniquity was found in him. So there could be a progression from just simply sin into a transgression, which is rebellion and revolting continually against God and stepping over the boundaries, amen, until you get to the point of iniquities, being bent on evilness and sin and having no intentions of change. Continuing and thinking God just can't do nothing about it. Deals with the attitudes of the heart. God calls some in Psalms 5:5 workers of iniquity. Come on. Talk to me. Covetousness, idolatry, lust, perversion, iniquities of the heart. Come on, everybody with me? Quickly. I'm about done, y'all. Stay with me. I just got a few more verses. Quickly, right now, Exodus 34:7. It says, keeping mercy upon thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sin. There it is, and, you know, iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. According to the scripture, we also see Saul. You remember the story of Saul, right? If you don't remember, go back and read it. It's over in 1 Chronicles. Let me read it. It says, Saul died for his transgressions. Why did Saul die? He kept on rebelling against God. You remember the prophet told him, obedience is better than sacrifice? Right? Is that right? And so Saul, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 10:13, says, Saul died for transgressions. Saul died for transgressions. Here it is, which he committed against the Lord. You also need to understand something. When you sin and transgress, you're sinning and transgressing against God. All right? Remember over in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't tell the truth? What did he tell them? You didn't sin against me. You sinned against the Holy Spirit and against God. Amen. And that's why I got to shake my head sometimes. Sometimes when people do certain things, I shake my head and say, they just don't know. Not against me, it's against God. Come on, talk to me. Bible says Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord. Right? He disobeyed the word of the Lord. So he sinned against God, which he kept not. Also, ask, watch it, hear me, watch it. It says, ask also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit. What's the big pastor? What was the big deal? He consulted a fortune teller. What's the big deal? If you want to know anything about your life now and in the future, he said, ask of God. Do not consult. Do not consult fortune tellers or soothsayers. Or necromancers, that's people who talk to the dead, or people that divine the stars and the moon. You know, everybody with me? Do I need to break that down? I had one person argue me down. When is your birthday? January 23rd. Oh, you Aquarius, you Aquarius. Let me tell you about the Aquarius. I said, I'm not Aquarius. I don't even believe in that. I used to. But I don't now. I didn't know. Listen, I didn't know no better. Praise God, I was getting those newspapers and those magazines, and I was, whoo, horoscope. That's me. Aquarius. What did it say about Aquarius? I went so far, I had that little water sign. I didn't know no better. I just didn't know no better. Bless God, I had that water sign on my necklace. You know, with the other charms I had around. I didn't know any. I had all kind of good luck charms around my neck. I had that water sign, which was an abomination to God. Amen. I had that good luck charm, too. Amen. You might remember, though, I had that around my neck, too. Bless God, and I had that rabbit foot for good luck. What happened to the rabbit? And that was a real rabbit foot, too. If he was so lucky, he looked like he lost his foot. But I didn't know any better. I had all of them hanging around my neck until I found out the truth and I found out what God said in Deuteronomy about it. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Amen. Praise God. Read Deuteronomy. It tells you all about it. Don't say, well, pastor against signs. You know, no, I'm not. I'm in the sense that I'm against as much as God is against it. Bless God. Because you need to understand it's deeper than that. Amen. It has to do with the position of the moon. That's why they determine what birthday is. Go back and look at it again. Amen. That's sorcery. That's divination. Trying to read the position of the moon. If it's a full moon, a half moon, a quarter moon. If it's a certain position of the constants. That's not of God. I didn't know no better. But I do now. Amen. So he made a mistake. He consorted out the Bible said those he consorted with people with familiar spirits. And how many people running after people that they perceive have these gifts? You with me? Consorting after people who are soothsayers and reading your palm and all of those things don't have anything to do. The Bible said don't have anything to do with it. And that's why Saul lost his life, because he saw consulting. And the reason why God held him even the more so responsible, because watch it, because he was in a position of leadership. Right? God held him even in a greater place of responsibility. Okay? So, the Bible says that he consulted after familiar spirits, inquired of it, and inquired not of the Lord. And acquired not of the Lord. There was the transgression. He sought after people who have familiar spirits to give him information about his now and about his tomorrow. And he didn't consult the Lord. Therefore, he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Not only did he lose his life, he lost his kingdom. See, God blesses us with all kinds of things. You know, we can lose it because of transgression, sin, or iniquity. All right? Let's close with David and Job's prayer. Hallelujah. Job's prayer was in Job 13:20 says, how many are mine iniquities and sin? That's what we need to be asking the question. Make me, here we go, to know my transgressions and my sin. That was Job's request unto God. Lord, make me to know my transgressions and sin. Right? Uh-huh. And Psalms 51, David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Watch it. He says, blot out my transgressions. In other words, he said, Lord, remove from my account all of my transgressions. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Mm-hmm. Blot out my transgressions, but wash me from my iniquities. And cleanse me from my sins. Verse 3. For I acknowledge. You got to acknowledge it first. For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. And done this evil in thy sight. For thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. And be clear when thou judgest. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. God is a just God. Right? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desire truth in the inward part. And in the hidden part, thou wilt make me to know wisdom. That's in your heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear. See, you can't hear the joy of the Lord if you're walking in sin. Amen. The psalmist knew that. And he said, make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. See, God got to create a clean heart. Come on, talk to me. He got to remove the iniquity and create in us a clean heart. That got to be our prayer, oh God. And renew a right spirit within. You got to have a right. See, there's a right spirit and a wrong spirit. The psalmist said, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. See, sin will do that. It will push you out of the presence of God. David's petition was, don't cast me away, Lord, from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. See, we got a job to do. When he changed us, we got to get out there and let others know about it. O Lord, verse 15, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou hast not desired not sacrifice, even what I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. That wasn't enough. For the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That means a humble heart. You can't come to God at first, you're broken, and you say, I need help. Humble. Lead, come to God. God can do something with that. God can do something with a humble heart. If you come to him with a humble heart, say, Lord, I need help. The Bible says God will not despise it. That's heavy. That's why sin is such a big deal. Because God hates it. It goes against the very nature of God. We're warring against God. We're fighting against God when we're walking in sin and have no intentions of changing. Praise God. So that's the error of sin. We've dealt with that, and that's always good news. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven of our sins and brought out of that state into eternal life. Amen. God's love did that. He did something about our situation. He loved us so. Even the Bible said, even when we were yet in sin, dead, the Bible say in sin, God loved us and send his son, Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation for our sins. Stand in our gap. Stand in our stead so that we can be forgiven. That's wonderful. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love, great love that God hath bestowed upon us through his dear son, Jesus Christ. That's what the good news is all about. And that's why God said, go back to the basics, because we need to know these things. These are the foundation to our faith. And we need to know what it is about sin and what's the big deal and why God wants us to get out of there. God said, get out of there and stay out of there. What did he tell those he healed? He said, go and sin no more. I'm changing your condition, but he said, go and sin no more. Is that what did he tell the woman at the well? Go and sin no more. Bless God. What did he tell Zacchaeus? Go and sin no more. Your sins have been forgiven. Bless God. So that's it. That's the area of sin. Praise God. So we dealt with atonement, propitiation, sin, imputed. Amen. Righteousness of God, reconciliation, restoration. Praise God. We dealt with all those things just in 3 weeks. And there's a whole lot more that God wants us to deal with. Because we need to get back to the basic and know and understand what it's all about. So that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we have what we have received eternal life and on our way to heaven. That's what we got. We have enough to praise God about. If God doesn't bless us one more day, which he will, but we have enough to praise him for the rest of our life. Simply because he gave his son, Jesus Christ, for you and me. And now we have been forgiven. On our way to heaven. Right standings with God. Declared not guilty. Better yet, declared righteous. Praise God. Righteous. Come on, stand on your feet. There's no more guilt. Touching him and say, no more guilt. No more guilt. See? Because that's what Satan will want to place you is in guilt. Amen. Well, I've counseled many a people. And one of the greatest things that troubles me when I see a person that make a mistake and afraid to come back to God and ask God for forgiveness, because that's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be so condemned that you can't come to him and ask for forgiveness. One person once told me, I can't even pray to God anymore. I said, that God didn't mean it to be so. God always wants you to come to him in prayer. God always wants you to be able to come to him as your heavenly Father. Don't run away from him. Run to him. Amen. Run to him. And that's my counsel today. Amen. If you made a mistake, don't be condemned. Amen. Don't run away from God. Run back to him. All right. Get as close to him as you can. All right. Praise God.
Well, I pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Please send any letters to Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228, that's 42 and an 8, Sylmar, California 91342. Again, that's Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228, Sylmar, California 91342. While you're at it, please include a love gift to help support this ongoing ministry to touch the lives of those seeking to know the Lord. You also can go to our website at valleybrien.org. That's valleybrien.org. Thank you for your support.